Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fala mudilla la wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya la wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika la wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, beloved youth, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this 15-20 minutes that I have, I will just stick to one topic, and that is the month of Muharram. We all know that today is the 29th of Zilhijjah, and tonight, inshallah, we should scan the sky. And if the crescent and the new moon is sighted, we should say, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Ya Allah, make this month of Muharram a month of khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness. The hadith is in Abu Dawood. And if the moon is not sighted tonight, then tomorrow, definitely, tomorrow night will be the first, and Sunday will be the first. Then we read tomorrow night, inshallah, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Second point, my brothers, when did this Islamic calendar start? What is the origin of it? In Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 36, Almighty Allah highlights this issue. Inna iddata shuhuri indallahi ithna ashara shahran fi kitabillahi yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard. Verily, the amount of months by Almighty Allah and already prescribed and ordained in the book of Almighty Allah, the day Almighty Allah created the entire universe. So Almighty Allah made 12 lunar months from time immemorial. Minha arba'atun hurum. From these 12 lunar months, 4 are sacred months. Which are the 4 sacred months, brothers? Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, said, Thalathun mutawaliyat, 3 are consecutive months, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. So that is what the Quran Kareem is teaching us. Any person could ask this question, it's a valid question, why does Islam follow the lunar calendar? We just returned from Hajj now 2 weeks ago. So brothers, you know in your own life, Ramadan fasting sometime in summer, sometime winter, similarly with Eid, similarly with Hajj. So this is a manifestation of the justice system of Almighty Allah. Whether you are in the east, in the west, or in the north or south, it will rotate and you will find that sometime you are fasting in summer, sometime winter, similarly with the Eid and so forth and so on. Now compare and juxtapose that with a non-Muslim. Yesterday, day before yesterday, the non-Muslim, some of them were celebrating their Diwali. So their entire life, it will be in summer. They know nothing about it in winter. You see Christmas and New Year. In South Africa, the entire life, they experience it in summer. You go to Europe, America, when I was there, you can't even come out of your home. The snow is so high. Is minus 15, minus 18 degrees. So imagine the wisdom which Almighty Allah has blessed us with these months here. Now, my brothers, what should we be doing during this month of Muharram? 2-3 actions we should try and do. Let's start with the sunnah first. Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khairu siyam ba'da shahri Ramadan. The best fast after the month of Ramadan is Shahrullah al-Muharram, the month of Almighty Allah, and that is the month of Muharram. So Ramadan fast, we all know, is obligatory, compulsory.
But in the other 11 months, the best month to fast is the month of Muharram. So tonight you will get the news, whether it's the first of Muharram tomorrow or Sunday. So let us start the month, inshallah, and the new year with fasting. In that way, we come very close to Almighty Allah. We show and display our love for our Creator. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ That those who possess true iman, they are intensely in love with Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. Second one, the day of Ashura. We all should try and fast the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th or 9th, 10th and 11th, alhamdulillah. It's authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهِ That I hope and I expect Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala will forgive the previous year's sins. This day of Ashura, my brothers, it gained importance already from the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif. Why was this day important? غَرَّقَ اللَّهُ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمًا وَنَجَّ اللَّهُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمًا Almighty Allah rescued Nabi Musa alayhi salam and his people, and the Pharaoh and his people were drowned on that day. So it shows from that time already it was so significant. Prior to the Milad Mubarak, the honorable and greatest, the great birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the Quraysh. They were people who were worshipping idols. But even they used to believe the day of Ashura is so significant. The ghilaf of the Kaaba, you know nowadays, 2 weeks ago we were in Arafat, and there we find that the Kiswa was being changed and so forth. So nevertheless, in those days prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak birth, on the day of Arafat, on the day of Ashura rather, they used to change the Kiswa and the ghilaf of the Baytullah, because they held the day of Ashura in such great esteem. Then Nabi alayhi salatu salam came and the advent took place. Nabi alayhi salam said, keep the one day fast, and then went to Medina Munawwara after the migration, found the Jews fasting, and said that now, sumu yawman qablahu wa yawman ba'dahu. As mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, you keep one day fast with Ashura, 9th and 10th, or one day after that. So that is what we must do, and obviously you, the husbands, the fathers, you know, inshallah. Man wasa'a ala iyalihi yawma ashura, wasa'a allahu sa'ira sanatihi. Whosoever is but lavish with his wife and children and so forth, on the day of Ashura, Allah will increase your risk. It's a weak hadith, but we in Mishkat Sharif, but we accept it in fada'il and virtues. So you know, on the radio, the women, they phone, and they say, my husband is so conjuice and such a bakhil person, he don't spend anything, so I have to bribe them up on your behalf and say that, no, call him honey and tell him he must give me some money. You know. So inshallah, brothers, you keep a big heart, inshallah, and you spend on your wife. You don't spend on me, it's fine. Spend on your wife and your children, alhamdulillah. This was introduction. Now I'm coming to the most important message. Brothers, understand what I'm saying. And it is of paramount importance. This is not something that is of secondary issue. This is fundamental. We belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Just now I translated Sheikh Sudeh's khutbah from Makkah. He spoke of the same thing. Because today, look at the international scene, look at the national scene and the local scene. Internationally, I take you quickly, that by my time is very limited. Iran, I've been there last year. You must remember, is 75, 80, 85% Shia, depending whose you want to accept, whose survey. Iraq is majority Shia. Even in time of Saddam, it was majority Shia. Two-thirds are Shia and one-third are Sunni. Bahrain is 80% Shia. Then you come to Lebanon. Hezbollah is such a powerful army, every Muslim country, Arab country fears them. They are Shia, whether we like it or not. Syria, the regime of Bashar Assad is 100% kafir, murdering our people. 7 to 8 million of our brothers, sisters of Syria are now refugees. They stay in the open, in the tents. And to kill the Sunnis is considered a great ibadat for them. How many of our women, there's no time, brothers, were raped, mass raped by this very people? Now you see on your TV and in the radio and in your newspapers, the mass media, you have the Houthis in Yemen. Houthis are Shias and they have taken control of Yemen. Internationally and with the Western backers, US and UN and UK, they all are pro-Shia. They're anti-Sunni, they're anti-us. You must understand the politics, the real politics as they call. So you must understand globally what is happening. There's a big war going on against us. Yesterday, day before yesterday, they said that they are giving arms to Daesh. Daesh is ISIS and all of them. Then when they made investigation, they said, no, by mistake, it landed up there by the Syrian army. This is all games they play. So brothers, remember, the world now, the Shias are getting stronger day by day. And the truth of the matter is this, we the Sunnis, we are getting weaker and weaker politically, and you must remember financially. You take Libya. Libya was such a country, I got nothing to do with Gaddafi, but the country that had so much wealth, today they have reduced them to pauper status. So you must understand what is happening globally. Take internationally, our South Africa. Quickly, if I give you statistics, you go Natal and just go to Vellum and go and see more than 10,000 our people, Indians and Africans, have joined. You must remember the Shias already. When I gave a talk there, I said, ask whatever question you want. The Imam from that masjid came, if you want to call it masjid, we don't even call it masjid. And he asked me a question, so I answered him. After everything finished, he came to meet me and I saw him very closely. I spoke to him in Arabic. He said, Min fain antum ya Sheikh? From where you come? So he smiled and he said, Min Oman. So Oman, not Amman, Oman, Muscat, Oman. I said, Anta min al Ibadi, huh? You're from the Ibadis. What you doing with the Shias? He started laughing. You see this, he speaks all languages. Quran says, Yu'minuna bil ghayb. That they believe in the unseen. But today's world is yu'minuna bil jayb, to believe in what goes in the pocket. Our Sunnis are joining the Shias because the Shias are giving them so much, not money, rents. They give them dollars and so much. So that is the scenario there. Go to Cape Town and go and see the Ahle Bayt Foundation. Go see their literature. I beg the ulama of Cape Town. I say, under your nose this is happening. So you must see here in Pretoria. Go and see how many of our people this year beginning when I was in Pretoria. These youngsters were there against the wall. And we spoke on this topic. They had someone at some place and he's sending them questions via SMS. Ask AK this, ask AK this. They were swearing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar in our masjid. My brothers, you must understand when Muharram comes, therefore I chose this topic. Our Sunnis also, some of them join the Shias. How? You will see that many of us believe, Sunnis, that we cannot get married in the first 10 days of Muharram. What has those to do with Islam? This is 100% belief of the Shias. So understand this. We, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, consider Muharram as a sacred month, Mubarak month. You have nikah, you have walima, all that is fine. And the Shias consider it as a manhus, as an unlucky, unfortunate month. Because everything rotates around Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. I drop dead here now, you pass away today. What will you say? You will say that Allah has favored this person. Allah Jalla wa Ala gave him or her death on a Friday. You don't turn and twist the facts around. You don't say that Almighty Allah made Jummah important because he passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise took place in the 11th year of the Hijrah. 50 years after that, in the year 61 AH, 10th Muharram, on a Friday, in the Maidan and in the field of Karbala, I went there personally, alhamdulillah, in Iraq. And brothers, you must know, this incident took place 50 years. So this was the good fortune of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Almighty Allah elevated his rank and status, gave him martyrdom, and gave him death on a Friday, on the day of Ashura. You don't turn the facts the other way around and say, Muharram became important, Ashura became important, because of the death and demise and martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. So that is where we divert, where we differ with the Shias. Today, my brothers, our youth, our schools, the African townships, all of them are being attacked daily by the Shias. There's no shortage. The whole Iranian government is supporting them. South Africa is fertile land. You go and we will give you so many dollars. Let me give you 2-3 incidents. Whenever you interact with a Shia, last night I did program for Voice of the Cape. MashaAllah, for past 9-10 years, we do Q&A with them. The Sunni lady from Cape Town says, Mufti, this person wants to marry me, but he wants to make mut'ah with me. You know what is mut'ah? Khomeini writes in Tawdihul Masail, is a book we have written by Khomeini, which I have. Till today is being sold in Iran. I saw it myself. So you must remember, you can have a male and a female, and they have an agreement. 1 o'clock we get married, and 2 o'clock everything is finished. So that is mut'ah. Is that mut'ah? Is that prostitution? Well, any Shia leader, when I debated with the Shia, I asked him, your daughter, will you allow it? You should see how red his face became. So brothers, first thing you must ask them about their prostitution, which they call mut'ah. When I deliver these lectures, the whole lecture, 1 hour, 2 hours on Shias, I find parents coming to me with tears in their eyes. They say that this person deceived me. He got married to my daughter, and after 2 months, 3 months, he packed her up and said, get out now. We are Shias, and we used you for mut'ah, and now get out from here. Imagine we're so vulnerable, we give our daughters to Shias. Can't we even think, brothers? Number two, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu ardah, the second greatest person to walk on this earth after the prophets and messengers. Remember this name. I saw it myself. The place name is Kashan. The person who murdered Sayyidina Umar, who stabbed Sayyidina Umar here on the Musalla in Masjid Nabawi while performing Fajr Salat, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, the fire worshipper, the Zoroastrian. This Shia revolution of Iran, they have put up a shrine, a mazar, for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, and they call it Baba Shuja'uddin. Baba Shuja'uddin, the person who is so brave for the sake of deen. When I challenged them on that, they had no answer. So see how they hate the greatest of people, Sahaba radiallahu. One, you ask them about their mut'ah. Second, you ask them about the shrine. Third one, you go to any Muslim country in the world, you will find a masjid for us, the Ahlul Sunnah. You go to Iran, till now, you will not find in Tehran, the capital, a single masjid for us, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are not allowed to have a masjid in Tehran. And then they speak of unity. What unity you want when you sway the Sahaba? What unity you want when you promote prostitution? What unity you want when you don't allow us a masjid in Tehran? And ask any Shia this. So brothers, my message to you today is, inshallah, Almighty Allah preserve us, make the year 1436 better than 1435. Second message, make special dua for Masjid al-Aqsa. Quickly, my brothers, 1 more minute. 90, see what the world does and the South African connection. 1994, Ramadan, 15th of Ramadan, 1994. Baruch Goldstein comes into Masjid Ibrahimi in Khalilur Rahman in Hebron. There are 800, 900 brothers there in the masjid. I read Salatuddin 89, 92. It's our masjid, the whole masjid. Baruch Goldstein from South Africa. This terrorist from South Africa. He goes, he pulls out his gun. Whilst our brothers are reading Fajr Salat, he slaughters them, murders them. This is Israeli-style justice, the apartheid regime. What they did, they took that masjid and they partitioned it off. front portion Muslims and the back portion for the Jews. Now, next month in November, in the Knesset, in their parliament, they're going to have a vote that we must partition Masjidul Aqsa. Where are we, the Ummate Muslimah? We don't even know these things here. Brothers, I appeal to you. We can't take guns. We can fire frighten of crackers, you know. We just say a cracker will run away, our wuzu will break. Brothers, we know. At least raise your hands and make dua to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, you protect Masjidul Aqsa and you decimate and destroy these Jews and the Zionists. This is my second message. And third message, my brothers. It is imperative upon you to protect your iman and your children's iman and protect them from the menace of the Shias. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala give us tawfiq. Our ladies' program that was supposed to schedule for tomorrow, inshallah, will take place this afternoon, 3 to 4, at the same venue, inshallah, the girls' madrasa. So the ladies' program this afternoon, between 3 and 4, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh, jazakallahu khair, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.